Oh, the gospel will overcome in a world full of sorrow, by evil overrun.
You're listening to The Dean's List, an analysis of news, culture, and theological trends from a biblical worldview. This is your place for intelligent conversation on the relevant issues of our day. And now, here's the host of The Dean's List, Dr. Paul Dean.
Well, Mary, it really is getting weird out there now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, it's been getting weird, but this is, like, even more weird.
Okay.
President Obama uses the Bible. Okay? He uses the Bible in his so-called Christian faith to defend the transgender bathroom directive to public schools.
Okay.
Is that freaky or what?
All right. How do you do that?
Well, we're going to talk about it. This from the Christian Post. Just have to get right to it. Let me just read a little bit. Is that okay?
All right.
President Barack Obama said that his understanding of the Bible and his Christian beliefs led him to issue the directive at public schools. So, by the way, not only is he trying to defend what he's done with the Bible, he's saying it's his Christian beliefs and the Bible that led him.
You know, some people would get mad at that one.
Yeah.
Or they should have.
I know it.
But go ahead.
And again, you know, I guess biblically speaking, I got to take him at his word unless I find proof otherwise, but I find that very difficult to believe. But
especially when he hasn't pulled out the Bible before.
Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah. And what if a Christian conservative, or what if some conservative said, my Bible and my Christian beliefs led me to make a decision on this public policy? Do you not think
crucifixion.
The hue and the cry, yes, of outrage. You know, what about separation of church and state, imposing your religion on everyone else? I mean, it would be unbelievable. But see, President Obama can get away with it. Why can he get away with it?
Don't know.
Well, according to the scriptures, and I know this is going to sound really odd to a lot of folk, you know, just come to the lecture hall. We can do some scholarly academic lecturing, I know. But listen, if you believe every word of the Bible, you know that the book of Revelation, the dragon is behind the beast. You know what the beast is? It's government, human government. Dragon is Satan. He gets away with this because Satan's behind him.
Okay.
I'm just saying there's a real spiritual battle going on that we can't see, but just because we can't see it doesn't mean that it's not real. It's very real. But anyway, he gets away with it in the human realm because, well, obviously, the liberals are in charge, and I'm not just calling folk names. It's just very frustrating. But we're gonna get on to some analysis here. But anyway, he says his Christian beliefs and the Bible led him to issue the directive at public schools calling on students to be allowed to use the bathroom of their choosing regardless of their biological sex. Now here's a quote from the president. My reading of scripture tells me that the golden rule is pretty high up there in terms of my Christian belief. Now aside from citing the golden rule, that's an interesting way to put it, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
The golden rule is pretty high up there in terms of my Christian belief. Well, what else would be pretty high up there? And what would not be pretty high up there? What is it in the Bible that doesn't correspond to your Christian belief? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I don't rank, you know, when the Bible says, I don't rank it in order of, well, here's something that's pretty high up there in terms of my Christian belief, and here's something, not really. You know, Jesus is the only way to be saved.
Not so sure.
I don't know about that. I mean, even the way he talks, he reveals the fact that he knows nothing of the scriptures. He knows nothing of Christ.
And he's belittling us.
Yeah. If we were to have a contest, I bet you Donald Trump would look more like a Christian than Barack Obama.
Really? Maybe?
You know, I might be wrong.
He loves the Bibles.
I don't know. I don't care. But that's right. He loves the Bibles. He puts them in a safe place. He would never destroy the Bibles. We're going back to something he said back during the primary season. Oh, well. 2 Corinthians tells me that. I'm kidding.
Yes.
Obama and Trump, whatever. Now, again, I might support Trump, but I'm just saying he's not a Christian, but neither is Barack Obama. So anyway, the golden rule is pretty high up there in terms of my Christian belief, says the president. When asked why he decided to make such a big issue out of school bathrooms, you ready for this? Obama explained that his concern stems from the bullying that transgender students experience. Now, I'm as against bullying as anyone else. But I think we've made way too much of a big deal out of bullying. I think it's something that's contrived by the left. I think it's something that's blown way out of proportion. Kids are kids, and we need to teach kids not to fight and all that, and some kids do bully others, but this whole bullying culture, I mean, give me a break. And now Obama's going to say that all the trannies are bullied. Now, again, as a Christian, I wouldn't make fun of someone who's transgendered or, you know, some guy who thinks he's a girl. I don't make fun of that. It's tragic. It's very...
But that's not solving the issue.
It's very sad. And then I want to talk to them. I want to give them biblical counsel and appoint them to Christ. But really, there's an epidemic here of transgender kids getting bullied? I mean, well, how come I haven't heard of that? And how many, I'm just saying, the statement, there's no evidence for this. It's not rooted in fact. Where in the world his concern stems from the bullying that transgender students experience? In this culture, really? It's an epidemic. I mean, kids are out there beating up trannies. Is that what's happening?
That is happening.
Really?
Yes.
A lot?
Some.
I've never heard of
incidences.
Listen, I work with kids. I coach hundreds of kids literally every year in different venues. I coach over 100 kids at a country club. I coach hundreds of kids at a public sports club. I coach kids in 2 high school settings, one a Christian high school, one a public high school. And none of the kids that I know, I'm talking hundreds of kids, none of the kids that I know on those, and listen, we got kids that come from different walks of life, different backgrounds, and some of them, quite frankly, dress and look and act a lot differently than I would. And I've never seen it. Now, I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but I don't see it. And more than that, do you really expect me to believe that the president of the United States sits around at night worrying about all the tranny kids in schools being bullied? And that's why he decided, he's reading his Bible. Now, here's the president. He's like me. He goes to bed. He opens his Bible. He's reading through the scriptures. And he's thinking about the tranny kids being bullied. And all of a sudden, he says, you know what? My Bible and my Christian belief and my burden for these bullied kids, I'm going to give an edict tomorrow morning and no more, you know, bullying. We're going to let the tranny kids go into the restroom that they want. And that's how we're going to stop bullying, by the way.
Well.
See, now, wait a minute. They're not getting bullied on the playground. They're not getting bullied in the lunchroom. They're not getting bullied on the smoking patio. They're getting bullied in the restroom. And that's it. And so if these guys can go into the girls' restroom, there won't be any more bullying. You know why? Because they're bigger and tougher and meaner than the girls. And if the girls try to beat them up, well, they'll just give them what for.
Okay.
I'm just saying. It's ridiculous.
I agree. His motives, yes.
And
what
sometimes
he's saying,
we ought to just call it what it is.
It's ridiculous. You're right. Kids are kids. Kids bully.
Well, I'm just saying. He didn't go through this process. He's a liar.
Well, I was going to say, you're picking, you know, his wife needs to be held accountable for bullying all the fat kids, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Even though, yes, it's unhealthy, so is a transgender lifestyle is unhealthy for the country, for everything like that, just as being obese.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, I'm just saying we might need to get bigger bathroom stalls.
Yeah. Now, you realize...
I'm sorry. I got worse than you did, but I'm just saying...
I'm not making fun of kids. No. I'm not making fun of transgender kids. I'm making fun of the president's statement.
That's right.
I'm calling into question the veracity of his claim. That's right. What I'm doing. And I'm doing it in a sarcastic way. only because I've seen Elijah do that in the scriptures. Now, as my daughter pointed out to me last week, well, just because Elijah used sarcasm doesn't mean that he was right in the use of sarcasm. I'd have to think that one through. I know that when Moses got angry, it was sin. God said it was sin. So I don't justify being angry. But I don't know. I mean, here's Elijah making fun of the prophets of Baal, making fun of their God, their false God, their idol. And I don't know.
I want to know, what are we going to do with sports?
Well,
because
sure.
You are a coach, you know, and you've talked about that before. You cannot solve the issue, like you say, by making this edict in the restroom. This is a big issue of guys claiming to be girls, vice versa. Where does that fit in?
Well, they're already allowing guys to compete in girls' sports now.
Yeah,
and
totally,
girls and guys.
Yeah,
but I mean,
totally unfair to the weaker vessel,
well,
as the scripture teaches.
Of course. We did a broadcast a couple of months ago now, maybe several months ago, where some woman, MMA, you know, mixed martial arts,
yes.
She's like a champion, and she's one of the strongest women out there, and she's powerful, and she ended up fighting against this transgender. Some guy thought he was a woman, and, you know, so now he's competing against the women. She said she never felt power like this guy had, this guy who claimed to be a woman. And the fight was totally unfair. She was beat up. She had a broken...
I think a jaw was
broken. A jaw or something, but definitely the orbit of her eye, the bone.
Okay.
I have a friend who's a medical person, physician of some kind. And he tells me, do you know how much force it would take to break the bone right
eye
there,
socket.
The eye socket, whatever it's called? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just, it's unbelievable the amount of force this guy used to beat this woman up. And so here we have a culture where, we're outraged if a man, beats on his wife. And we should be outraged.
Yes,
the man should be thrown
should
in
be.
Jail.
But now you're going to say there's no difference between a man and a woman?
Well, yes, and the point is we're going to let this man beat up a woman in the ring, and we're going to pay to see it and say it's wonderful because he's not a man, he's a woman. See, that's the convoluted nature of futile thinking. And by futile thinking, I'm speaking of Romans 1, for example. God has given those who don't know him over to the futility of their minds, the futility of their thinking. Ephesians 3, there are other places where, the scriptures talk about this dynamic. And I don't mean to be so outraged or so upset about it. It's just, because these people are blind. President Obama is blind. But the problem is there, we believe God is absolutely sovereign. And we don't question that. And I joyfully submit to his providence in my life. That doesn't mean I'm happy about difficult circumstances, but I try to find the joy. Count it all joy when various trials fall upon you, James tells us, knowing this, that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its perfect work in you, that you might be complete and entire and lacking nothing. I try to live that way. So I believe in the absolute sovereignty of God. There's not one single thing happens that he's not in control of. When Obama declared this edict, it's because the sovereign Lord of the universe decided before the foundation of the world to cause President Obama to declare this edict at this time for his glory. Somehow that works out for his glory. But at the same time, there's human responsibility. And humans do terrible things. And so just as what Judas did to the Lord Jesus Christ, and just as it was ordained before the foundation of the world, what Judas did was also evil. And God calls it evil. And Peter, he's preaching at Pentecost. He says to the Jews who crucified the Lord Jesus, he said, you didn't do anything that God didn't order by his predetermined counsel. You, by the predetermined counsel of God, did this thing. But you know what he says? You, by wicked hands, did this thing. So there's a tension in the scriptures. There's a tension in the scriptures between the absolute sovereignty of God and the absolute responsibility of man. And where I get upset sometimes, upset's probably the wrong word. I'm not angry at President Obama. I'm passionate. I'm very emotional about it. But there's a wide range of emotions. You know, the Lord Jesus went in and turned the tables over in the temple. Wasn't angry. He was grieved. His heart was vexed within him that God's holiness was being impugned and all that. Now, I'm certainly not like the Lord Jesus. And when I get angry, it's sin. The Bible tells us that the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And I think we ought to speak the truth in love, and I think we ought to be kind. But there are times when we're talking about something like President Obama's edict, we just have to, you know, put the passion out there. This is, from a human perspective, evil is being perpetrated upon the people of this nation, an egregious evil, an evil that's a game changer. I mean, evil is evil, but there's some evil that's just so horrific. Like the dropping of an atomic bomb. That's a game changer. This transgender edict, that's a game changer. You're basically sealing the death of this nation. The downward spiral, God giving us over, unless God in his sovereignty decides to be gracious, decides to be merciful, unless the church wakes up. But you talk about the danger that you're putting women in, that you're putting little girls in. And listen, as you say, the unkindness with which you're treating the transgendered individuals themselves. There is something badly wrong with these folk. They need help. They need Christ. To think that you're a woman when you're a man, and we're going to say it's okay, and then we're going to let them access the women's locker rooms, but more than that, we're going to let them go on to mutilate themselves. And then when they change their mind, when they come to their senses, oh my goodness, a ruined life. And we're just going to act like it's normal. This is an evil, the likes of which we've not seen in our lifetime. That's why I'm passionate about it. Anyway, you're looking at me, but you're not talking.
I just don't know what to say.
That's okay. So. Here's the president again. He says, what happened and what continues to happen is you have trans... I mean, he just says stuff. He just says stuff.
Well, okay,
he
tell
just
us
makes
what he
stuff
said.
Up.
What did he say?
I mean, where's the report, Mr. President? Where's the data here? Anyway, he says, what happened and what continues to happen is you have transgender kids in schools and they get bullied and they get ostracized and it's tough for them. All right, well, that might be true with reference to some kids. But here's the question. How is allowing these transgendered kids access into the bathroom of their choice going to prevent that?
Yeah.
It's just going to make it worse. It's going to make it worse. Let me tell you something. I would not advocate it now. I would not advocate it now. Let me say it one more time. I would not advocate it now. But when I was 17 years old, I had a girlfriend, and I saw the transgender guy, you know, who decides all of a sudden, I'm going to go in the girls' restroom, locker room, and my girlfriend's in there, and she comes out, she's upset, I'm going to beat him up. I'm going to get five of my friends, and we're going to beat him up good.
Oh, no.
I'm not advocating that.
No, yeah.
No, but I'm telling
you're saying human nature.
That's going to happen. Yeah. It's going to happen.
We'll see.
Let me say it one more time. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
Mr. President, your solution is not a solution. Your solution is exacerbating the problem.
Yeah, the solution is to, you'd have to rearrange the whole bathroom situation to make a solution where it's non-gendered, you know, no more gym class, no more changing clothes at school. The solution would have to be different if you're going to be fair.
I say that one more time. I was reading something else.
No,
he
I'm
said.
Just saying this is not the solution to allow men into a women's locker room, per se. The solution would be, all right, there's no more gym class in gym uniforms. You can't change clothes at school. I'm saying if
what
we were going
to
be fair, and you can't, now we're all going to have to use the teacher single lounge until modifications can be made to the bathrooms. I mean, that's how you would solve the situation. You can't just do, this is not a fair way to solve the situation.
Yeah, one bathroom, one stall with a locked door.
Yes.
I got you.
And non-gendered, like you do in the airplane.
Sure.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
how many people you have on an airplane that have access to just two bathrooms? Come on, you
right?
Know?
Yeah. Let me move on. You're right.
Tear down some walls and put up some partitions.
Yeah.
That's how you solve the situation. Yeah. You're right. There's
well,
be more
there's
bullying.
A better way to solve it. And I'll get to it.
Oh,
in just
I
a
know.
Minute.
But
you're right.
But
no,
I'm
you're right.
This
I mean,
is
you
not
sincerely
it.
Want
yeah.
to be practical, and you want to do something because you're worried about. But there again, it doesn't affect bullying. But that's just beside the point.
Yeah.
Actually, it's not beside the point. I'm answering the president, but there are some other things we want to mention.
And you can't fix people who are who are bullies.
No. All right, he goes on. He says, I have profound respect for everybody's religious beliefs on this. Well, no, you don't, because you're imposing your religion. Yeah. See, I don't want to impose my religion.
And a lot of people, they don't even have religious beliefs,
right.
See that this is, I just don't want my girl to be, you know, terrorized by a boy.
Well, and that's the point.
Watched or observed or violated.
Yeah. First off, it's not a religious issue. It's a liberty issue. Women have the right to privacy and safety. We all do. Just because you want to go into this bathroom, you're a man, you say you're a woman, you want to go into the woman's. No, that's a violation of the rights that those women have.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what Obama would say is, well, I'll get to it in a minute. He plays the discrimination card. I'll get to that. But did you hear what he says? He says, I have respect for everybody's religious belief. Well, that's not true because you're imposing your religion. You're saying...
Yeah, he just said, I did this because of the Bible.
Yeah, you said, I did this because of the Bible, the golden rule, my religious beliefs, my Christianity. So, again, you're lying.
Well, he had some speechwriter make that up. Well, he hadn't thought that
I don't
through,
know.
I don't think.
I don't know. It's easy to tell when he's lying. His mouth's moving. So then, anyway, not only that, you know, non-discrimination. That's your religion. Your version of tolerance. You know, you're imposing moral value. You're saying that we must accept the transgender's claim. That is a religion. That's a philosophical
right.
truth claim.
So why do we get hurt for our truth
That's
claims?
It.
You know,
so
we
don't
want to make a cake for somebody for a wedding.
Yeah.
Why? How can you
That's
discriminate
right.
against us? It's so backward thinking.
That's right. So you don't have respect for my religion.
Mm-mm.
See, but I do have respect for your religion. See, there's the difference. Let me read his quote, and then I'll explain that. He says, there's no room in our schools for discrimination of any kind, including discrimination against transgender students on the basis of their sex. Well, what about discrimination against all the straight girls?
Mm-hmm.
You're discriminating against them, but not only are you discriminating, you are assaulting them. You're violating their rights. You are doing violence to them. But it is not discrimination against a transgender student. If somebody says, I feel like a woman, okay, but you're not a woman. You don't have access to the women's restroom. You could call yourself a woman if you want to. And you know what? In the public school, if you want everybody to agree with, you know, a nod of the head or whatever, refer to you as a woman or a girl, fine. But that doesn't mean you have access. It's not discrimination to say you can't go into this restroom. See, the more they play that card, and the more people allow him to get away with it and call it discrimination, whether it's a good kind of discrimination or an evil kind of discrimination, you know, because there have been times I said, well, it is a kind of a discrimination, but it's a good kind. Well, it's not discrimination at all. We're just letting him get away with it. Now, you say you won't bake a cake for a same-sex couple. Yes, that is discrimination. But that's not evil because you just don't agree with their lifestyle. So let's don't call that evil. And so how do you decide? You say, well, you want your religion to trump mine. No. I want liberty in a civil society to trump.
You want the guy who thinks he's a girl not to be able to come into the bathroom because it's his thought process. He can't come into the bathroom.
I want the guy who wants to call himself a girl and dress like a girl and be referred to as a girl to have that liberty. And I want the girls in the locker room to have their privacy and liberty and safety. And I want this couple that owns a bakery to be able to bake a cake for who they want to and not bake a cake for who they don't want to. And I want the same-sex couple to be able to go and find somebody who will do a little ditty ceremony for them if they want to or bake a cake for their ceremony. But it doesn't have to be this couple. You have the freedom to ask somebody to bake a cake, and you will fund somebody to bake a cake. But You can't force somebody else to bake it for you. And let me clarify my statement on finding somebody to do a ceremony. The government should be out of marriage completely. I don't want to have to get a marriage license. I don't think the government has anything to say about marriage. God is the one who has defined marriage and ordained marriage. But if lost people want to call themselves married, then what does that have to do with me? I'm talking about apart from the government. If the government was out of marriage, you could call yourself a Martian. Okay. I'll call you a Martian. Actually, I won't, because you're not a Martian. And I won't call a transgender a woman if he's a man. And I won't call a same-sex couple who say they're married, married, because they're not married. But they want to call themselves married. I'm not going to outlaw that. I'm not going to say they can't have their own little civil ceremony. But neither am I going to sanction through the government same-sex marriage. Do you see the distinction I'm making?
Yes.
Well, I'm saying it over and over to you so my listeners understand the distinction that I'm making. Liberty. See, it comes back to that. It's not my religion. The liberty principle. Or the fact that we live in a civil society where a lot of people liberty. It doesn't make moral judgments. Now, I make moral judgments as a Christian. And I'm going to persuade you to come to Christ if I can. I'm going to preach the gospel to you. But I'm not going to impose my law on you. And you know what? Don't you impose your law on me. Don't you dare, Mr. Man, come into the restroom when my daughter's in there. You don't have that right. My daughter has a right to her privacy. And when Mr. Obama cites the scriptures,
we know,
not only in defense, but when he says this is, you know, his thought process. Let me just read you. I had so many things I wanted to say, and we're just not going to have time to get to them. But I got to read this.
Okay.
Got to read this, unless you want to say something.
No, go ahead.
Well, you got to say something, because my Bible program went out. Oh, here it is.
Okay.
All right, this is Psalm 50.
Okay.
Verse 16. But to the wicked, God says, what right have you to declare my statutes, or take my covenant in your mouth? Seeing that you hate instruction and cast my words behind you. When you saw a thief, you consented with him and have been a partaker with adulterers. You give your mouth to evil and your tongue frames deceit. Let me read that first verse one more time. What right have you to declare my statutes, says the Lord, or take my covenant in your mouth? Seeing you hate instruction and cast my words behind you, Mr. President. Now, I'm speaking as a prophet, not like a revelatory, but, you know, the man of God. Not because I'm worthy, but because I believe by grace through faith in the only king that has a right to be called king, King Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
You've been listening to The Dean's List, an analysis of news, culture, and theological trends from a biblical worldview. To access archive broadcasts, go to trueworldview.net, where you'll find other helpful resources as well. The Dean's List.
And the gospel.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or iHeartMedia.